Hey, gang. Welcome. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. I'm Patrick Slattery. This is National Bugle Radio on RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. I will be taking callers today, if you care to call. That number is 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. This is the last show of 2017. So what I'd like to do is look back on 2017, evaluate it, and look forward to 2018. Now, I know these years are, there's a little bit arbitrary. You know, what's the difference between December 31st and January 1st? That demarcation is arbitrary, but a year as a unit is not arbitrary. It's the length of time it takes to go around the sun. Most of America has four seasons, and you go through the seasons. It's not an arbitrary unit, even if it's an arbitrary demarcation between the units. So we look back at 2017. Where were we at the beginning of the year? With our hopes or with our fears? Where are we now? Have we accomplished? How much have we accomplished? 2016 was the year Donald Trump was elected. That was something that certainly seemed improbable at the beginning of 2016. But it actually happened, and he got through by the skin of his teeth, so much so, having lost the official popular vote by more than anyone else had lost the official popular vote and still became president in almost 200 years. John Quincy Adams had a bigger loss of the electoral vote, or the popular vote in 1824. But yeah, 192 years since that had happened to have such a large margin. But of course, you know, it's in all likelihood there was a lot more voter fraud on the Democratic side than on the Republican side. The Democrats in at states where they could just run it up, there are areas, there are precincts, and that's probably, you know, the voter fraud can happen in a variety of places in a variety of ways, but I think control of a absolute control of a particular precinct is where the opportunities for fraud, that's probably where the most common opportunities for fraud arise. And I'm thinking of a precinct where you have basically 100% support for one party and zero support for the other party. Who are the judges of election? How do you become a judge of election? I mean, in most places, you know, it depends on the states, but in many states, you're elected judge of election. It's not anything very many people want to do. And so to be elected judge of election, basically, you know, in many places, all you have to do is write yourself in because nobody else is trying to, especially to be the minority judge of elections. Many states, they have majority judge and minority judge. If you're in a, let's just say, an all-black precinct, who's going to be the minority judge? Everybody is on, you know, the Democratic side. So anybody who just writes themselves in becomes the Republican judge, the minority judge. And so you could very easily have situations where you have, you know, all the judges of elections are pro-Democrat and will allow votes to be cast for people who didn't actually come to the polls. Hey, can I vote for my mother? Can I vote for my sister? Yeah, go ahead. Just, you know, don't make a big deal out of it. That type of thing. That's what I suspect. I don't know, but that's what I suspect probably goes on a pretty fair amount, because you have these precincts in black areas in particular, where there you can have the Democrats getting 100% of the vote and it's entirely plausible. But the question is, 100% of what? 100% of what kind of turnout? And that's where the fraud comes in, where maybe only 80 or 90 people actually turned out, but wound up casting 300 or 400 ballots. That's the type of thing. So it's not that votes were switched, but people who didn't come out to vote voted, that type of thing. But also, because you're not getting, in most places, you don't have citizenship requirements when you register to vote. You don't have to prove your citizenship. It's basically honor system, and then if you get caught, you're penalized if you get caught, but there's not really any enforcement, so nobody's going to get caught. I think another leading source of voter fraud would be people who are not citizens. And I'm not just talking about illegal aliens. I'm talking about non-citizens who may have been here for 20 years but aren't citizens. They're not allowed to vote. But I know for a fact that there are groups that were sending out mailings to people with foreign-sounding names without any regard as to whether they were citizens or not, encouraging them to vote. I know that because I've seen these. So there's probably a great deal of foreigners who are voting. Anyway, I'm getting a little bit off track. Having Donald Trump having been elected in November 2016, and then December 2016, the Electoral College then coming and casting their votes in favor of him, still at the beginning of the year, as you heard on my retrospective a couple of days ago, there were some doubts among those in the know that there may be some sort of shenanigan in order to prevent Trump from his election from being certified and install perhaps Colin Powell in his place. Well, that didn't happen. He did get inaugurated. But what we've had, I think if 2016 was the year of the Trump election, 2017 is the year of the coup d'etat. What we've been seeing in 2017 is that Donald Trump has only partial control over the government at best, that he has not been able to wield executive power. Whereas Obama issued executive orders right and left. Trump, to the extent he's issuing executive orders, the important ones are being blocked by courts, by lower courts, in fact. And the judiciary is full of activist judges at lower levels that are willing to block these initiatives. So he's had a great deal of trouble and very little success in implementing some of his main points of the program. The main points of the program, I mean, number one was halting immigration or slowing it down greatly. His number one foreign policy was improving relations with Russia. He hasn't been able to make much headway on either. The bombing of Syria in April really represented what I considered a coup d'etat, but that, you know, that was kind of symbolic. Having General Flynn be forced into resignation, that was the result of a Jewish attack on him, on General Flynn. He was impeached by the media, and he was entrapped by an FBI that had been that had access to his conversations because of surveillance, the wiretapping that President Trump kind of archaically referred to. He was entrapped. He had promised President Trump to contact the Russians, as he should have, as was necessary in order to prevent the types of misunderstandings that could lead to a very, very destructive war due to President Obama's reckless, not just sanctioning, but then threat of cyber warfare. Not threat, but saying, oh, we're going to do it. a guarantee that there will be a cyber attack on Russia. Wow, somebody needed to contact the Russians and say, just don't overreact. This is what Flynn did. He did it. He was told to do it in confidence, as Nixon had instructed Kissinger during his interim before he became, while he was president-elect, to contact foreign powers. Perfectly legal, perfectly understandable. He was asked to do it in confidence. He didn't tell the vice president. And the because of this surveillance, the FBI, an anti-Trump FBI, knew that General Flynn, that he had been asked to keep things confidential from the rest of the administration, including from Vice President Pence. And they were able to entrap him on this into putting him into a position where either he's lying to the FBI or he's breaking his promise to the president. That's what happened. That's entrapment. General Flynn did nothing wrong. The FBI was part of an attempted coup, which has been semi-successful. I mean, it's this coup, we still don't know how it's turning out. You look at, I think Charlottesville was a huge thing, not just because I had a small role in it, not just because I attended it. It was huge because you look at the fallout. And President Trump, for merely saying that there were bad hombres on both sides, or there are good and bad people on both sides, which is a fair thing to say. I think a better description would be that the Antifa / Black Lives Matter crowd acted illegally and attacked an otherwise lawful rally participants. That would be a more accurate description, but yet, you know, if you're talking about several hundred people on either side, you know there's going to be some good people and some bad people on either side. That's a pretty easy thing to say. And yet, he was attacked on it. There were calls for his resignation. You had his Jewish economic advisor, Gary Cohn, who was at the time lobbying in order to become the next Fed chief, publicly leak, I guess, himself, that he had drafted resignation letters over it. Donald Trump was pilloried in the press for merely stating something obvious and understating the truth of the situation at a time when the mainstream media and the Jewish bought and paid for politicians were spouting complete lies about what had happened. That is really part of a coup d'etat. I mean, they're trying to disable the president and ultimately remove him. President Trump, has he done what we wanted him to do? No, he hasn't. How much can we expect? Somebody who spent his, excuse that sound, somebody who spent his career amassing a fortune, how much can we expect a real estate businessman and a media personality to be able to know who to appoint? I mean, hundreds and hundreds, actually thousands of appointments needed to be made. And he did not have the list the way somebody who had been involved in Washington for an entire career would probably know who to appoint to major positions, somebody who could be relied on for advice for lower level appointments. And Donald Trump didn't have that. And early on after the election, just made the decision to rely on the Republican establishment, a Republican establishment that had been opposed to him. I think that was a bad move, but he wanted people who would have experience, and so he did this. He's got a lot of awful people in positions, and, you know, for instance, Deputy Attorney General, he's got somebody who, according to the news sources, had been virulently anti-Trump Trump, somebody who despised Donald Trump. And guess what? As soon as he gets into office, appoints a special prosecutor to witch hunt the president. This is a coup d'etat. This is an attempt at a coup d'etat. It's been partially successful. We really don't know how it's going to turn out. It's an open question as to whether President Trump will be able to finish his term, even, let alone be reelected, but finish his term. Can he finish his term? You've got impeachment proceedings that have been, impeachment has been introduced. How far will it go? Well, it's probably not going to go too far this year, or in 2018, but November 2018, what happens? We've got congressional elections. I have no use for the Republican Party, but it may be that you know, depending on what happens, it would be great if in the primaries that a less, you know, less traditional Republican, less Zionized Republican candidates of the type that one would hope Steve Bannon is going to be recruiting. I don't know how much faith we can have in him, that some of those would be elected. But what might be the only thing between impeachment proceedings might just be your mainstream Republicans maintaining control of Congress. Because all it takes is a majority in the House of Representatives to vote to impeach a president. And then it goes on to a Senate. Senate of 100 people needs 67 votes to remove the president from office. If you wind up with, I mean, at this point, whether the Senate's in Republican control or Democratic control means something, but it's not as if you're going to have 67 Democrats. But how many Republican defectors would you need? I mean, even under current the current breakdown, you look at, say, when the Access Hollywood tape was released, how many Republicans were calling on Donald Trump to drop out of the race? I mean, you had plenty. In the wake of Charlottesville, how many Republicans in Congress, in the Senate, denounced Donald Trump for his understated comments that there were good and bad people on both sides? He's in a very vulnerable position, and he's trying to do very bold things, and has, limited experience. But one thing that we might look forward to in 2018 is a Donald Trump with a year under his belt as president. He will not be a rookie anymore. I think he's made plenty of rookie mistakes, and why he allowed Jeff Sessions to recuse himself from this Russia investigation. Was he really blindsided by it? Weren't there certain rumors or speculations or demands that Jeff Sessions recuse himself? I think there were. I think there were calls that he recuse himself from the investigation because of having attended cocktail. Well, we will be back after the break.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. And I would like to welcome on Murr from Wisconsin. Murr, how are you doing today? Do we hear? Murr, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, there you go. How are you?
Oh, okay. I'm good. How are you?
So, I'm fine.
Well, if you give out your chat room, or I will, the what's your site, National Bugle or the National Bugle?
NationalBugle.com, National Bugle, one word,
right.
No hyphen.
And then click on Join the Conversation. I've put links in there. Now, Laura gave you the name Wooldrich. It's actually W-O-O-L-D-R-I-D-G-E, Wooldridge. Frosty is his nickname he goes by. His real name is Forrest, and he used to teach math in school, and I'm wondering if he went to Frosty when Forrest Gump came out, but we won't go there. But he's very fit, vegetarian, he bicycles, but his big gig before, immigration, but he can't say Jew, and he's down on population. Depopulation is his big gig, his big math expose at the moment. He used to be...
This is Frosty... what was the family name?
Wooldridge. W-O-O-L, like sheep. And then Dridge. D-R-I-D-G-E. But it's in your chat room, all the links. But I want to get past that. His big gig before was humans are causing climate change. And he had all these figures, and he makes appearances on Rents and different shows, and on Deanna Spingola, a caller called him and asked him, he said, well, what happened to the climate change, the humans causing the climate change, and he was silent. He ditched those figures, and he goes with the figures about depopulation now. Immigration is a part of it. Like I said, he can't say Jew, and he would be a good white representative
now, What does he say about depopulation?
There's too many of us. He believes all the figures that are given to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course the figures lie. They lie about everything. Hello? You know? So, these are the couple of the big boogeymen, the fear of abandonment and scarcity. And neither of them are realistic. But they have to keep fear going somehow. They have to keep us in a constant stress disorder. And to come out of that, this is what I really wanted to nail you with. Mm-hmm. If people go to YouTube and do research on QAnon, everybody's doing research on this. And like I said before, I think here or on Stormfront, that the way to come out of stress disorder is to ask questions and get the person to think critically, right? I mean, we do that all the time on all these conversations, trying to hack out what happened. Well, this is what's going on now, the globalists. They're Satanists. And in this video I posted, I also sent it to the board op. I don't know if they'll post it on RBN. They posted Liz Crokin's from June. But apparently, you know how they went and you just can't watch any of the media. You know, they Trump and team went and checked out, or some of his team, Gitmo. Well, apparently there's planes, many of them without the tail numbers, flying dangerously high at 40,000 feet where the air is rare, but they can also go very fast. And they've been going in that direction. And at the same time, passports have been taken. And no Twitter activity on Soros and a lot of these. So it's theoried that, this is what we were promised. Christmas, the end of the year, I'll be rounding them up. He said that.
Mm-hmm. And people we'll see how that goes.
People want to believe that Trump is dumb. He is not. He's been planning this for 30 years. He knows that Satanism is at the root of this.
Well, he has been talking about running for president for 30 years. That's correct. You can go back 30 years and people were asking him if he's going to run for president, and he would always say, maybe, I don't know, we'll see.
He said if it gets bad enough, it's bad enough.
Yeah.
People don't want
well,
to face
certainly
the
is
satanic,
bad
satanic
now,
ritual.
I would like to address something.
Satanic ritual. Listen, mm-hmm. Patrick, I posted in your chat room, hashtag Q, bombshells hitting targets, Liz Crokin. It's an SGT report video. People need to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as explosive as the one back in June. She's
okay.
Known them. Listen, everybody acts like this is some kind of joke that we don't need to know about. This is the most important thing. We need to get over this stress of what's causing the stress. And the stress is that we're run by Satanists that drink adrenochrome, the blood from children that have been tortured. This is the truth. Right. Now, I've been saying this everywhere, and I don't care what people think.
Okay.
Spirit's telling me to tell you this. People need to hear this. They need to research this for themselves and know it's real.
So,
get away from
the
stream media.
All right. Well, I was going to address something you said, but we only have a minute left. So I'll ask you one more time to say where you are recommending people see the video. It is on Chatango. And explain one more time how people can see that.
Okay. NationalBugleRadio.chatango.com.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call, Myra.
Yeah, Patrick.
We'll
have a good year.
You too.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech. Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery. I have William from Montana, and I'm going to bring him on now, although I am going to say something before I ask. Hi, William. How are you doing?
Very good, Patrick. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. There's something I want to say, and you can respond to it or not. You can just go straight to what you were going to say. But, you know, we have in our society a big debate over, say, climate change, for instance. And Murr was bringing up the work of this gentleman, Frosty Wooldridge. Was that the name?
Yes.
And I don't know his work, but apparently in the past he's talked about population and these kinds of issues. And one thing I do want to say is that, you know, the planet isn't changing sizes. The planet is the size the planet has been. Our population has changed greatly. Compared to 50 years ago, we have double the population in the world now. Compared to 100 years ago, we've quadrupled. And it doesn't take some sort of crazy, extremist environmentalist to say that doubling the world's population every 50 years is not sustainable. It's not sustainable. Now, the other thing I'd like to just bring up is that humans obviously have an impact on the environment. If you fly over the United States, you're going to largely look down from your plane. If you're going over the Midwest, you're going to see farmland. It wasn't farmland before. It was something else. It was prairie. If you're flying over the eastern part, it would have been forested largely, and now it's farmland. If you're flying, you know, on the eastern seaboard, you're seeing a lot of suburbia, a lot of urbia. Everything is different. We've changed the environment. There is a relationship between the environment and the atmosphere. The idea that we're not changing the atmosphere and we're not changing the climate, to me, it's ignoring just obvious facts. The climate and the atmosphere have always been interactive with life on Earth. And we are changing, we've massively changed life on Earth. Now, does that mean that we need a carbon tax, or does that mean we need to have these Paris climate controls? I think it's also hubris to think that we can predict what's going to happen. And besides, even if we could predict what's going to happen and we did know the policies that needed to be implemented, in a world where we're at each other's throats over what I would consider a lot of, you know, to a large extent, Jewish manufactured divide and conquer, we're not going to be able to implement anything. So we've got more pressing problems right now than to put climate change at the top of the agenda. That's my statement on it. And William, if you want to respond to that, you can, or if you want to just go in a completely different direction, go right ahead.
Well, you know, I'm one of these strange people that for, you know, four decades now, I check the solar weather as much as I check the, you know, terrestrial weather. Mm-hmm. It's just been an interest of mine for many years.
Weather. North Pole, yeah, South Pole?
Yeah, just like what's happening with the sun. And, you
oh,
know,
solar
if you
weather,
look at,
okay.
Yeah, solar weather. And, you know, if you look at the, you know, the interaction, most people think that the sun is just this big burning ball of fire. But, you know, if you look at the sun, it constitutes, like in our solar system, it's 98.89% of the mass of the solar system. Mm-hmm. And that includes Jupiter and Saturn. You know, those are big, big planets, too. And if you understand the interaction of the sun with the magnetosphere and with the Earth, and just how much stuff comes out of the sun and strikes the Earth at variable times, at variable masses. I mean, if you look at that, the sun really is the only, you know, it's the only game in town. And, you know, there's a lot of science out there. If you dig into astroscience, you'll find that there's a lot of science that says that the Earth has gone through many periods of this global warming and, you know, glaciers, you know, the ice sheets. And there's a lot of evidence. I knew one scientist at the University of Oregon who was very much into this, and I actually went out into the Alford Desert with him once to sort of collect rock samples. And he shows that these periods of global warming were really, you know, if you just deal with the physics and just deal with the mass, just masses, not with some idea like, well, the Earth is big and we're becoming overpopulated and we drive a lot of cars. You know, if you just deal with masses, you'll find that, you know, one hiccup of the sun, one, you know, huge coronal mass ejection, can change the climate of the Earth for, you know, 300-400 years. And so the idea that these fluctuations are man-made is a little bit hubris, you know, if you understand the science of it. So, you know, I always roll my eyes when someone starts, you know, giving me these scientific reports, and then they selectively forget about these big methane bubbles. You know, if you heat the Earth up a little bit, methane is I forget what it is, 14 times more of a, you know, hothouse gas.
It's much more potent of a greenhouse gas.
Yeah, and all you have to do is raise the temperature of the taiga, you know, the northern, you know, Canada and northern, you know, northern Russia, and you get this outgassing of methane. And if you change the density of the water, you'll get these huge bubbles of methane that are on the, you know, bottoms of the oceans, especially up in the northern latitudes. And that can influence, that can actually create more of effect than all of the industrial output since the Industrial Revolution. So there is also a science that really refutes this. And if you see, I mean, I know people in research, in meteorological research, that have been told by their departments not to make any statement. They actually have their research reviewed. There's people that look into this. And it's like, if you publish that, you're out of here. Because, yes, we're not disputing the scientific evidence, and it is a very interesting question, academic question, but it is political death for us in terms of grants and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, well, you really don't have any science that supports, you know, global warming as a result of human impact.
Okay, well, I'm taking the ball back in my court now. If you look back over geologic time, obviously humans are just a very recent occurrence. So human activity could not be the cause of the massive fluctuations there has been over geologic history. Now, and you're mentioning the sun, and I don't study the sun's weather, but the sun does have a huge impact on the magnetosphere and whatnot. And the sun is not a constant, and the sun provides, you know, the energy to the Earth in form of solar radiation. But it can't be the only game in town. There have been other events. And so, for instance, you know, life, the existence of life on Earth transformed our atmosphere. We have oxygen in the atmosphere at, you know, 19-20% level because of the existence of plant life on Earth.
Sure.
And so that's huge. And then events like a massive meteor strike on the Earth, for instance, which kicks up clouds, or, you know, volcanic eruption within the Earth, which kicks up debris and clouds and dust into the atmosphere, can have a massive cooling effect. So there's a lot of things. It's a complicated system. My point is not that what's happening now is entirely due to human activity. My point, and I think it's valid, but it's, you know, up for debate. My point is that humans have had a huge impact on the environment. Obviously, you can drive around or fly around and see it. And the environment is in a relationship with the atmosphere, with climate. And so it's going to have an impact that is not entirely predictable, but it's going to have some sort of impact along with these other factors. It is going to be a factor. Does that sound unreasonable, or what do you think about that?
Yeah, but you always have to remember that, you know, just because there's a relationship following on another relationship doesn't mean that there's any causal connection. You know, the fact that, and that's what bad science produces, and that's what much of this global warming science is it's saying this happens first, this happens later, and then it's an assumption, which isn't very scientific, that there's a causal relationship to the thing that follows. And if you look at good science, you will actually find out that there is as much, and I think from my reading, more evidence that humans have very little impact. I would say that there's more human impact on the oceans because of all of the birth control pills and all of the antidepressants are being flushed down the toilets. They're starting to find massive changes. And if you start mucking with the plankton, you know, in the oceans, you're going to have a much more devastating effect on human habitation than you're going to get with raising the temperature 4 degrees. I mean, there are people who have actually researched this, and they, it's not very popular. You know, it's not something that you're going to get your PhD research project funded, and the university is going to slap you on the back and say thanks a lot. There's a lot of this type of stuff that makes more sense than global warming. I mean, I've looked into this, and I know some people. I know someone at the, you know, NOAA, who's a chief meteorologist, who's a good friend of mine in Seattle, and you know, he can't even officially make any statement about this, even though, and now, you know, he's been conditioned. He won't even, you know, talk to me about it because it's like, you know, I can't, you know, stop trying to get me in trouble. You know, like this thing is not scientific, it's a political ball. You know, I go back, if you want to know how this whole thing got started, go back and study Maurice Strong and his supposedly rise from poverty in Alberta to one of the chief architects of, he was supposedly this poor man made good, and he, you know, went on to become a bigwig in the UN, and he was one of the principal architects of the Rio agreement. And then he started dipping into the kitty and wrote himself a check for nearly $1 million and was basically kicked out of the UN. And guess where he went? He went to Beijing, and if you look at the, I would challenge anyone to look into what happened. Just look at the career of Maurice Strong. And you will see where this whole global warming, tax the rich nations and give to the poor, the whole idea of carbon tax, all of this stuff was planned and orchestrated, and this whole this whole litany about how he came, worked himself up. Pulled him up by the bootstraps. I mean, if you look at the shenanigans behind the scenes that basically created this poster child to lead the world into control of the UN and basically a train. I mean, it's amazing that, if you look at the connections, you were mentioning something a couple of days ago about, China. What their game is. And if you go back and just go into the details of Maurice Strong's life, and you will see a connection, between him and China and a lot of other things that really pulls the wool off of our eyes so that we can actually see the machinations that are really happening. One of the things I called up about was that, 2017 was a great year. It was a year of very amazing and positive revelations. I mean, just think of how much we learned in 2017, how much we learned about national politics, how much we learned about how we've been captive by the two-party system for, like, 50, 60, 100 years, 2,000 years. I mean, how far back do you want to go? And, and what was the business as usual? What was the business? What was the product that was being produced by the swamp dwellers? It was, selling the country to the highest bidder. And you have articulated on many occasions who this highest bidder is. I think that there's more thieves in the pot than just one entity. Basically this whole thing, for people that can see with their rose-colored glasses off their eyes, this has been a great revelation. Mm-hmm. It's been a great year, yeah, for seeing that the press is bankrupt. Seeing that the military-industrial complex has been calling the shots for since 45, at least, yeah, or maybe longer. And so if you see all of this, it's a great first step to saying why, we don't have to relearn our lessons, right, every week.
Right. Well, William,
and that, yeah.
I do have a couple of other callers I want to get to
before
the year ends. I really appreciate your call.
Yeah.
I would like to do a show on climate, maybe sometime next year.
And we can, take your pick. I mean, you any place you want to start digging, if you dig down far enough, you're going to get to the same culprits.
Yep. Okay, well, thanks a lot, William.
Take it easy.
Okay, and next I have Paul from New Jersey. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Hey, Patrick. Now, for one thing, is I don't believe a lot of this intentional depopulation arguments out there, because what king wants fewer subjects? What, you know, potentate wants fewer slaves? None of them do. They want lots of slaves. And more slaves give you more power. And that's part of the reason why Europe is importing these third world people. I think part of also to divide up their nation and make it more manageable for them.
Okay, I think we might be coming up on the break. Please hang on.
Yeah.
So after the break.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Show, welcome back. So, Paul, you were saying,
yes, you know, like any other commodity, human beings and their labor are a commodity in a sense, and so when there's a shortage of labor, wages go up. When there's a plethora of labor, then wages go down, and that's why they bring these immigrants also. So you can see there's a heavy element when it comes to population of class warfare from the ruling elite. Mm-hmm. And they're coming down in favor of cheap brown migrants from the third world. Now, listen, I'm with Prince Philip of the UK. I agree with him when he said he'd like to come back as a bacillus and wipe out a lot of humanity. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there's so many human beings on planet, their value goes down. However, there are many, many endangered species in the world, and most of them are in nations that are run by brown or black people. The fact of the matter is, I would love to see lots of rhinoceri, but not so many Africans. You get it? So the point it's not a population, an issue of too much population of, you know, the world. It's too much overpopulation of the brown third world, and that's the problem. We should step right up and be brave and say it. They're the problem. The majority of the nations, like I said, that are driving species into extinction because of habitat destruction, poaching and whatnot, and pollution, is the brown third world. And so why wouldn't white people want to preserve the world and preserve these endangered species? The problem is, though, then you have, of course, the capitalist types who want the cheap labor. And that's the struggle I think we're seeing here. And but I'm for a global depopulation. I'd like to see the brown third world. You know, if we're going to send an army anywhere, send an army of vasectomy doctors to the third world to sterilize the third world. I would also like to make it a law that every brown non-European person in Europe is sterilized by law. You got it? And I can say that because I'm an anonymous. I'm not a talk show host. I love Europe enough that I'm willing to commit war crimes to save Europe. I see the loss of Europe as the greatest tragedy in history of our people, of our ancestry, and I'm willing to go to the extreme far right, and we need more people over to this extreme far right to save
okay,
Europe.
Okay, Paul. Well, right, thank you for your call. We only have a couple minutes left. I want to get to John in Tennessee. John, welcome to the show.
Wow, I got to follow this?
Okay, yes, you do. I'll do it. But I'll give you first dibs
Heaven help him is all I can say. All I can say is heaven help him. Anyway, look, global warming, could it exist on an Earth that wasn't a globe? Answer, no. So my question for you, here's something to think about going into 2018. The Earth is not a globe. Because a vacuum of space is what we're all taught, the vacuum of space. What happens when you break an old TV tube, a vacuum tube? What happens to the vacuum inside the tube? It goes away. So my question is, how can the vacuum of space exist right alongside a pressurized, however low the atmospheric pressure may be in the so-called thermosphere? How can they exist side by side? Answer, they can't. We've been lied to. The Earth is not a globe. Think about that next year.
Okay. All right. Wow. What interesting callers we've had. And this is a call-in show, at least when I declare it to be a call-in show, like today. Hey, this is the end of the year. Happy New Year, everyone. We will be back in January for more exciting episodes. And was this one exciting? Of National Bugle Radio.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.